Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Hey, everybody, and welcome into another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. I am, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He's the Krampus to my Santa Claus. He's Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
Who is Krampus?
You never heard of Krampus?
I believe I've heard the name, but I'm unaware of his...
Krampus is like the evil... Like, so good kids get presents from Santa Claus.
Okay.
Bad kids get visited by Krampus.
Last week I was the Grinch.
Yes.
And today I'm Krampus.
Yes.
I'm a bit of a jerk in real life, so I'm okay
so
with that.
So it fits. Yeah. This is why I do this.
Krampus. Like, what did he look like?
I think he's got goat legs. I think he looks like Santa, but with goat legs. I don't know the specifics. All I know is I saw some weird movie about Krampus a few years ago.
Goat legs. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have Googled it. He does have goat legs.
He's goat legs? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a little resemblance. I've been told I have chicken legs. So.
There you go. Anyway.
Off the rails already.
We are going to talk some hockey today. What we're going to talk about, the Capitals' recent offensive woes and whether those are a cause for concern. And we will open up the mailbag and talk about how Tarik and I made a horrible, horrible mistake last week. But first, let's open up with the offense. Before a miraculous comeback win against the Boston Bruins, the Caps had lost three games in a row as the offense suddenly went dry. The Caps went 177 minutes and 32 seconds between goals during the slump, which included seven straight periods and two overtimes of hockey. It was just 4 minutes shy of the longest drought in team history. Tarik, an NHL season is full of ups and downs. Was this just a blip on the radar, or is the offense suddenly a real cause for concern?
I look at the big picture here, and I don't think it's a real cause for concern. I will tell you this, however. I think that this team needs to figure out that And we've been talking about this almost throughout the entire Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom era, that simply looking for the perfect highlight reel play, whether it's on the power play, whether it's at 5-on-5, it simply is not a way to score goals consistently. When they do go to those hard areas, and we saw Kuznetsov the other night, he goes to the net and gets a rebound. I mean, when you do the things that you were taught to do as a peewee, when you go to the net, and you put pucks in play, things happen. Last night against the Bruins, Lars Eller just threw the puck at the net in the hopes that something would happen.
Right.
Guess what? Anton Khudobin was screened, and it went right over his glove. Sometimes you just have to play a little more simple, and I know it's not really in this team's DNA, at least amongst its top players, because they are capable of those highlight reel goals, those you know, backdoor tap-ins and, you know, the dangles where they break someone's ankles and then make another, you know, sweet drop pass to somebody. And I feel like they're trying to do that too much and that they need to play a little more simple and a little more north-south and a little bit more put those pucks on net and get to the hard areas in search of seconds. The one thing that the Bruins game did show me, however, is that this team has a little bit of what we have seen the last few years, even though in terms of they know they can go down early and that they can come back, that they have the firepower to come back. I think if that Bruins game taught them anything, is that they still have that rare ability to turn it on when they got to turn it on and get goals.
A lot of people are going to throw possession numbers at this and say, look, the Caps were destined for a fall. Look at these possession numbers. If you watch the Cats play, it doesn't seem like they're struggling to get the puck. At times, definitely in the first period against Boston had the puck the entire period. Definitely at times against the Rangers, they struggled to get the puck. But for the most part, I think it doesn't seem like the Caps have been chasing the puck all that much. And until we get super accurate possession numbers, it's really hard to gauge that. Basically, the possession numbers we have are just an estimate based on shots. But the one stat that worries me, that tells me that the Caps, although their offense isn't as bad as it has looked in recent games, that it may be destined for a little bit of a fallback, is shots on goal. They are dead last in the NHL in shots on goal. Dead last, with 28.67 shots on goal per game. The next closest team that is a solid playoff team is the Nashville Predators, who have 30.42 shots a game. So two more shots per game than the Capitals. The Capitals have to get more shots on goal. And this isn't just an Evgeny Kuznetsov problem, although he's culprit number one. They have to get more shots on goal. And you hit the nail on the head. Lars Eller just threw the puck on net, and it went into the goal. Sometimes your best option, even if you have no other course, if there's no open pass, just get it on net. The Caps aren't doing that. They're still trying to be too pretty with their plays, it seems like, and it's cost them. They have to get more pucks on the net.
You know, there have been a few examples of guys overpassing, but also just being hesitant with the puck when they're in high danger areas. TJ Oshie jumps to mind. He's had a couple of plays in the last few games where he's got a puck on his stick in the slot, and instead of passing it, he waits, and all of a sudden he's out of time, he's out of space, and he's jamming off the side of the net. Jake Varane has had a couple of those opportunities. I know it's something that has been discussed in the dressing room. They are aware of this issue. They know they've got to pick it up in terms of volume of shots. Again, it's a fine line also that Barry Trotz has to walk. You know, when you're trying to get a team to kind of simplify its game, when your players are all, at least your top six are all world-class playmakers. You know, they're able to do things that other teams can't do and what other players can't do. And you don't want to, knock the creativity out of their game. But at the same time, they are going to need to find ways to generate offense without the beautiful snipes, without the beautiful drop passes, without dangling through two guys before getting to the net, because the regular season for the Capitals this year isn't about making the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs. It's about getting themselves ready to score goals when it matters, and that's in the playoffs. Right. And you don't score those beautiful dangle, drop pass, right, cross ice, to Ovi one time. You just don't get those all the time in the playoffs.
Yeah, you don't have that space.
You have to find a way. It would be better if in the second half of the season, if they started forcing themselves to get into that mode, so that when it's time to flip the switch and get into playoff mode, they aren't for the first time going, now we got to start scoring those ugly goals.
Right, and this goes back to all the different line combinations where we see guys like Tom Wilson and Devontae Smith-Pelly playing with Ovechkin, and the reason is because they need that grinded out energy, effort type of player to help them get those dirty goals. They can't, if you go Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, not only are you top heavy, but you're saying, okay, win with skill. And this team can't do that this year. They don't have as much skill as they've had.
I disagree with you there. I think they can still win with skill. The problem is in the playoffs, you don't win solely with skill. You have to be able to score those ugly kind of goals. Let's go to the Boston game again. Brett Connolly's goal went off a skate.
Yeah.
With, I believe, was it Tom Wilson?
Basically taking the goaltender out, right?
I mean, those are the kinds of goals that win games in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and it was nice to see the Capitals get a couple of them last night. Ovi still continues to do what, it just blows my mind that he stands in the same spot game after game after game on the power play, and the puck comes from the same guy to the same spot, and he still puts it past the goaltender. It's pretty remarkable. It's funny. I was talking to one of the Bruins writers last night about that. He was like, "We've been watching this for 12 years, and no one has figured this out." I'm like, "Yeah, pretty much." But you know, to get those other goals, Lars Eller putting the puck in play, get a goal. Brett Connolly goes to the hard area, shoots it off a defenseman's skate, you know, trying to get it over to Tom Wilson as he's, you know, running into the crease. It's nice for them to have a diverse portfolio, mm-hmm. you know, in the second half. They need to emphasize getting some more of those greasy goals.
Tarik, real quick, I want to get to Oshie. How do you think he's looked since he's returned? Because there are times where we're seeing uncharacteristic mistakes from number 77.
Yeah, he had a couple of turnovers against the Bruins that certainly did not help the Capitals' cause. He missed six games. It takes a little bit of time to kind of, you know, get your feel and your timing back. But it also takes a little bit of time to kind of really get your mojo going in the right direction. Because, you know, that was a pretty devastating hit he took from Joe Thornton. And, mm-hmm. you know, it takes time to get your confidence back going into those traffic areas and really just getting a feel for your game again. I think we are seeing him kind of scuffle a little bit in terms of, you know, rediscovering the player he was prior to the injury. I want a little more information. I want a few more games. I wouldn't say it's a problem yet, but it's certainly something that's on the radar right now.
Yeah. Well, we need to open up the mailbag and talk about the mistake we made last week, Tarik.
Yeah.
And we will do that right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarik, last week we made a horrible mistake at the end of the podcast.
Okay.
Here's what we said when we were finishing up the mailbag.
32. Oh, my God. I mean, Buffalo needs to, like, get blown up.
Yes.
Dude.
They're dumpster fire.
Yeah. I'll take Evander Kane.
We could go a whole podcast discussing what an Evander Kane trade would look like and whether or not you should pull that trigger.
He's the only guy who seems to be playing right
but
now.
But if you want to hear that discussion, go ahead and send it
send in the question.
Okay, so Tarik, you made the first mistake by bringing up the name of Evander Kane.
Mm.
I tried to shut it down, but then I made it worse by saying if people wanted us to talk about him, they could send us a question to the mailbag. Well, guess what?
Mm.
Every single mailbag question that we got this week is about Kane. Would we trade for him? What would we give up? What effect it would have, etc. So, Tarik, it's time for us to eat our words. Let's break it all down. Let's evaluate Evander Kane, figure out if we would trade for him, if you or I would trade for him,
mm-hmm.
figure out what that would mean for the locker room. Let's just break it all down so we can get this out of the way.
Well, first of all, I randomly pulled that name out of my ass as we were discussing things last week in our last episode. I didn't mean it seriously, but look, if people want to talk about it, let's talk about it.
Right.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to work.
No.
In terms of the contract he's on right now, in terms of how much salary cap space the Caps do not have, in terms of what they would need to give up to get a player of Evander Kane's stature. You know, he's a top six winger at times for a lot of time this year, at least when the Capitals have played the Sabres. He's been on that top line with Jack Eichel. You know, I'm not saying this in a Nicholas Backstrom, Alex Ovechkin situation yet, but look, when you have a world-class elite center like Eichel, you need a finisher on his line. I don't know if he's playing with them at the moment. I think they've been split up, but it'd be great to have another top six winger. That said, let's just rewind a few months. They had to trade a top six winger in order to make space for re-signing Evgeny Kuznetsov. I mean, it's not like they just suddenly found some more space.
Right.
Kane is in the last year of his contract. He's having a hell of a year.
He's been great.
37 games. He's got 15 goals, 19 assists, playing well in every facet of the game. I mean, he's a very, very good player. You know, he's had some off the ice issues in the past, but in terms of what he brings to the hockey rink, he'd be an ideal addition to almost any team.
Mm-hmm.
But it ain't going to be here in Washington, and if Jason Botterill is smart, he's trying to figure out how to re-sign this cat now in Buffalo, because they're not having a very good season. They're trying to build towards something, and you don't want to lose a cornerstone type player for any reason. And in terms of getting a trade done with the cat, I look. We sit next to each other at games. Yep. We sit next to each other in the office. We talk a lot about stuff. And you know my feelings about how this Capitals team needs to proceed through the second half of the season, and especially at the trade deadline. I'm in conservative mode this year.
Yep.
Every year in the past, I've been like, go get Kevin Shattuck, go get whoever.
But
I feel like this is the year where it's time, it's really time to sit on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have any more assets to trade. They can't afford, if anything, they need to get more assets into the organization. They don't need to load up. I think this team might have some special kind of chemistry, and we'll see here over the next 40-some-odd games. But I feel like they are well-positioned for a good second half and maybe a playoff run. So I long story short, I don't even know why I brought up Evander Kane last week, but I regret that I did now. He ain't coming to Washington.
Right. So Evander Kane, I know he's got some issues. I've always liked him as a player. Those issues notwithstanding, I think he can add a lot to any given team. There are a few problems here. One, if the Caps are going to make a trade, I still see defense as their biggest issue over offense. And I know the offense ran dry the last few games. But in a playoff situation, when you have a top six with two rookie defensemen, a good coach is going to find a way to exploit that. So if you're the Caps and you want to make a trade, it would be for a veteran defenseman to add to your blue line, not a guy like Evander Kane. The main reason why Evander Kane will never happen to the Capitals is that price tag, $5.25 million. I don't know how on earth they would fit that into the cap, but if salary cap were not a concern, what would you give up? It would probably mean giving up a player like Andre Burakovsky and a significant pick or a significant prospect. And there's another problem there. You don't have a whole lot of significant prospects anymore that you'd be with. I mean, they're not going to give up Ilya Samsonov for Evander Kane. And you don't have a whole lot of significant draft picks to give up anymore. I mean, you've done that already. You need to go back and start replenishing those prospects. And ultimately, when you're looking at a guy like Evander Kane versus if you were to trade someone like Andre Burakovsky for him, I mean, who would you rather have? Would you rather have a 26-year-old rental player who's on the final year of his deal and who's going to be an unrestricted free agent? Or would you rather have Andre Burakovsky, who has 2 years left on his contract and will be a restricted free agent at the end of that?
If you had asked me a month ago, have you noticed how much Andre Burakovsky has played the last two games?
Under
9 minutes.
I know people are fed up with Burakovsky.
He's on the fourth line, which is one step closer to sitting next to me and you in the press box eating popcorn.
Right. I know people are fed up with Andre Burakovsky, and I know I read the comments, I see the tweets, how people want, if a trade's going to happen, people want Andre Burakovsky part of that deal. They think he's worth more as trade bait at this point. Guy's 22 years old. Guy's 22 years old.
Yeah, I mean, way too early to write him off.
Way too early to write him off.
He missed 7 weeks with a broken hand. I mean,
right.
You know, this is the second year in a row he's had a major injury that interrupted his season. Way too early to write him off. That said, he better get going. But yeah, I mean, in just in terms of general philosophy, and it sounds like me and you were saying the same thing here.
Yes.
The Caps don't have the space or the chips to push to the middle of the table to try to get a player of Kane's stature. That said, I just don't think that's what they need. Honestly, they need to continue to develop the young kids they have on this team now and stop trying to, you know, mortgage the future, which they've already done in the past few years. They simply need to start reloading and look, this is what you got. Bring what you got to the playoffs. That's the mode this team needs to be in this year. Continue to develop the Bowies and the Juices and the Stevensons and Veranas. And I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised. I think you're going to see some young kids step up here in the second half of the season and be ready for you know, helping this team make a run in the postseason.
I think we're already seeing Jacob Vrana take the next step. I don't think it makes sense for this team to give him less playing time to bring in a rental like Evander Kane, who you can't afford and who would have to adjust to this team. Like, and as we've seen with a lot of these players, it takes several months, and some of them never get it down. And then all of a sudden, they're unrestricted free agents, and you look back and say, what did we give up for that guy? So to me, it doesn't make sense. But thank you for your questions, as always. Tarek, are there any other names you want to throw out here that we can talk about next week? And
how about Patrick Kane?
Oh, my gosh.
No. Look, folks, I am pretty serious. Now, you know, ask me again 6 weeks from now what I think of this roster as they, you know, get into the meat of the Metro Division slate. But my feeling right now is please don't make a big move. Just stand pat. This is the year to stand pat. We saw what happened last year with Shattenkirk. It didn't work out. In fact, it might have set the team back a little bit. I hope that at least once the game started to count in the postseason. I just want to see continued development from the young kids. And, you know, if there is a move to be made at the deadline, I hope it's bringing young assets or picks back into the fold.
Right. We appreciate the questions, though, as always. If you want to have your question read and answered on the next podcast, you could send it into capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter. Help spread the word about the show. If you're listening to this podcast right now, what I want you to do, I want you to look at the device that you are listening to it on. I want you, if you haven't done it already, I want you to subscribe to this podcast. I want you to give us a positive rating, and I want you to give us a review right now. It'll take 2 minutes. Do it. It really helps us out. You're listening to us anyway, so clearly you like us. I mean, you've lasted this long. So clearly you like the podcast. So, and once you're done doing that, step two is to find the nearest device of the person sitting next to you and then subscribe them and then give us a good rating on their device and give us a good review on their device so you can double it. The other day, Ben Raby, he handed me his phone. I forget what he wanted. Like, he wanted help with something on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. And so I immediately went to the Capitals Face-Off podcast, subscribed, handed it back to him. I didn't do anything. I didn't help him at all with the issue that he had.
I just
subscribed to the podcast. So everyone should do that. By the way, a shout out to Ben Raby, who had his baby, little baby Raby. Congratulations to them.
Dustin Raby. Is he going to be Dusty Raby?
I
like Dusty Raby.
I see it's Dustin Bradley Raby, so I have to assume his name after Dustin Penner and Matt Bradley. So congrats to them.
Congrats to the Rabies. That's awesome.
Thanks to everyone for tuning in, as always. For Tarek El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.